So today we're starting a brand new series. It's entitled Joshua, Strong, Courageous Faith. And there's a hum coming through these speakers. All right, Strong and Courageous Faith. The title of this one is Let Faith Be Bigger Than Your Fear. Let faith be bigger than your fear. Amen. You know, many of us know Joshua as Moses' successor. He was the one who was to take the Israelites and he was to lead them into the land of Canaan, the land that was promised to God's people. Now, Moses had incredible faith, and to follow after Moses would have been an incredibly hard thing to do. Moses has such faith, he has such great faith, that he went to Pharaoh and he demanded Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let God's people go. He said, God told me to tell you to let God's people go so that they can go and worship God. That was pretty bold of Moses to do that. And so, as many of us know the story, the Lord would send 9 plagues upon Egypt. And up after these 9 plagues, Pharaoh still refused to let them go. His heart was hardened. And he said, no, there's no way. You guys are slave labor for me. And so if I let you go, then I lose all of my labor. And I don't get to build my pyramids and my house and all these wonderful things that I want to do. But then the Lord says, oh, you're going to harden your heart? All right, well, this is what I'm going to do. And so the Lord sends the 10th plague upon Egypt. And as we know, this 10th plague was the angel of the Lord going to each and every house. And if there was not blood found upon the threshold of the door, on the top of the door, that the angel of the Lord would take out and kill the firstborn child and kill the firstborn son of that house. And this would be a picture of what Christ did for us. If in our lives, you know, if we're not covered by the blood of Jesus, then one day at the end of it all, if blood is not found over our lives, then death and destruction lay waiting for us. So this was a picture of what Christ would have done. And so as we know, Pharaoh finally decided to let God's people go after there was a moaning and there was a tumultuous cry in Egypt because every single person in Egypt had lost their firstborn son. Joshua, the man of God that we're talking about today, would have remembered this very vividly and would have been very grateful to have woken up the next morning because he was a firstborn son. So Joshua came from the line of Ephraim. Anybody remember Ephraim? He was Joseph's younger son. And so if you remember right, Ephraim received the blessing that he would become a multitude of nations. This is what his grandfather put upon him. Hey, look, you're going to be a multitude of nations. And in our story today, we're finding that Joshua becomes the man of God who's leading a multitude of nations out of the land of Egypt. He would have remembered that night so vividly and would have been so grateful to the Lord. And so far in Joshua's lineage, we see blessings that he was blessed, that he would become a multitude of great nations. But we also see obedience by his parents. His parents put the blood over the door. And because of their obedience, his life was spared. So just a side note for some of our parents in the room today. If you want your children to obtain and fulfill the will of God for their lives and become to reach their full potential for God, 2 things you must do in your life. You must speak blessings and not cursings over your life. Declare a life and not death over their life. But also, as you begin to walk in obedience, then your children will follow suit. As you begin to obey the things of God, then your children will also obey the things of God. And so we see in his lineage there were blessings and there were obedience. Now, they still may rebel, but for the most part, if you have poured in your life, you know, the Bible says that if you train up a child in the way they should go, then when he is old, they will not depart from it. And so we hold on to that promise, speaking blessings and obedience. So our man today, Joshua, what qualified Joshua to lead God's people? In Numbers 11:28, we learn that Joshua assisted Moses from the time of his youth. He was an assistant. Joshua then became a leader overnight. And I think sometimes, you know, we want everything to happen. You know, maybe you know that you're called by God. You know that God has called you to do something great for God. But yet you want it to happen like right now, right then, right now. I remember being a teenager, and I was a teenager once. That was many years ago. And I got saved, and I gave my heart to the Lord. And I knew that there was a calling upon my life. But before I would be a pastor of a church, I had to serve tables. I had to pick up chairs. I had to clean toilets. I had to cut grass. I had to do all these things. And so there was a process of me becoming a pastor. It just didn't happen overnight. And so it was with Joshua. Joshua was a servant to the man Moses, listening to his wisdom, being right by his side. Moses, what do you need? I am there for you. What do you need me to do? I'm here for you. And then whenever the time was right, Joshua was placed in a position where God would use him in such a great and wonderful way. So besides being an assistant to Moses, we must first learn that Moses was disqualified from leading God's children into the promised land. Now, here's a man of faith. Here's a man who loved God with all of his heart. Here's a man who gave everything to lead the children of Israel up to the point where they were. But because Moses disobeyed God, God said, you will see the promised land, but you will not enter into it. See, the people were murmuring and they complained. They were like, man, we're thirsty, Moses. You brought us out here in the middle of the wilderness to die? Were there not enough graves in Egypt? Is that why you had to bring us out here? And so they began murmuring and complaining against the man of God. And Moses was so frustrated with these people. He was like, God, what do you want me to do? They are yelling at me. They are wanting water. What am I to do? And God speaks to him. He says, speak to the rock and water is going to come forth. Well, up to this point, Moses had already experienced water coming from a rock, but he struck the rock and water came from it. But here's the thing. Moses, in this day and age, he says, I'm not going to speak to the rock like God told me to do. I'm going to strike the rock because I had success in the past whenever I struck the rock. I'm going to strike the rock, and guess what? Water flowed. Same result, but the problem was this. Moses disobeyed God in front of all of the Israelites. And because of this, God said, you're going to see the promised land, but you will not get in there. And so this is what disqualified Moses from leading God's people there. And so after God tells Moses, he said, Moses, because you've done this, you're going to get to see the promised land, but after you see it, you're going to die. That's encouraging, right? I'm like, God, you know, I gave my life for this, and I'm just going to see it, and I'm going to die. But Moses prays to God. He says, look, would you raise up someone? Would you raise up someone who will take my place, who will lead God's people into the promised land? And you know, God already had a someone picked out. And his name was Joshua. Let's look at it in Numbers 27, 15 through 20. Let's see what the Lord says about Joshua. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of all the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, make him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may obey. And so God calls Joshua by name. God had seen the faithfulness of Joshua, how he accompanied Moses as a servant, assisting him. He says, yes, Joshua is qualified to lead. Joshua is your man, Moses. And so perhaps Joshua would have felt greatly, you know, not qualified to lead God's people. I can relate to this. Whenever God called me to be a pastor, I said, surely, God, you got the wrong person. Surely, God, I can't lead a church. I can't be a pastor. And I know what's involved in that. I know how demanding that is. God, are you sure you got the right person? But I want you to know, if God calls you to do something, then you are qualified, not because of your ability, not because of how much knowledge you have, not because of how much money you have, but if God calls you to do something, then no, you are qualified because God said so. God said, Joshua, I am qualifying you. I am calling you. Therefore, you are qualified. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. I'm sure many of you have heard that before. He doesn't call the qualified. You don't have to have all the credentials to be used by God. He will qualify the call. The thing about it is, whenever he calls upon us and that we are willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is, God, you're asking me to do. Joshua was God's man for the job. So it says that besides this, God says, look, it is in whom my spirit is in Joshua. The spirit of God is in Joshua, is what he says. And so this is another thing that qualified Joshua, not because of Joshua's ability to lead, but because he is being led by my spirit. And if we are being led by God's spirit, then we're going to fulfill everything that God wants us to do. And that makes us qualify for the job. So Joshua, up to this point, he had proven himself as a mighty warrior who can lead. If you remember the Amalekites, they were attacking Israel. And as long as Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses, Joshua prevailed against the armies. But whenever Moses' hands grew weak, then the enemy began to gain ground over Joshua. But it says that at the end of that chapter that Joshua overcame the Amalekites with the sword. He was a mighty man of battle. He had proven himself as a warrior. Are there any warriors in the place today that are like just in this fight for your life, in this fight against evil, in this fight for everything that stands for good? You feel like you're in a fight today? Anybody? Yes. We all are warriors. But Joshua was a proven warrior, and so he was a proven faithful servant to Moses. You know, I was reading this, and many of us have heard about whenever Moses went up to the top. And he gets the commandments from the Lord. But what we don't realize is that Joshua went up the mountain with him. Not all the way to the top, but he went further than anybody else. Even Aaron the priest and Hur the priest, they stayed back. But it was Joshua who went up the mountain. Because Joshua had proven himself. Joshua was an assistant to Moses. He was faithful. And thirdly, what qualified Joshua is that his commitment to the things of God. And probably Joshua is most known for whenever they're surveying the land of Canaan. Moses sent out 12 spies to check out the land, to bring back a report. Hey, what kind of land is there? What kind of food is there? What are we faced against? Is it a fortified city? Is it a walled city? Can we overcome them? And so 10 of the spies come back with a negative report. And they begin to say, oh, well, we're doomed. You know, these people are too strong for us. And yes, the land's great and all this stuff, but we're going to die, Moses. You brought us out here to die. Joshua and Caleb, they rise up. Yes, we see all that. We see all those circumstances. We see all those things. But we know one thing. If God is for us, if God is fighting for us, there's no way that we can lose. And so they begin to build the faith, but it came to no point at all because the people of Israel just began to overtake and began to complain even more about Joshua. This is what Joshua said. This is the faith that he rose up with. We find it in Numbers 14, 7 through 9. It says, the land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Only a man that is filled with the Spirit of God, looking at the situation that everybody else was looking at, but yet he has a different perspective than anyone else. Instead of allowing those things to bring fear into his life, instead of allowing him to be, you know, he says, I'm going to rise up. I believe that my God is fighting for us. And if he is fighting for us, there is no way that we can possibly lose this battle. You need some people like that in your life. People who believe in you, people who say, hey, look, I know you're going through a difficult time right now. I know you. It looks like it's impossible, and it looks like the enemy is closing in on you, and that the enemy is about to overtake you. I know it looks bad right now, but you need some people in your life who believes in you and declares the word of God and says, I know you're going through something, but God is able to make you victorious through your battle that you're facing. Amen. You need someone speaking faith into you. You know, it was around this time that Joshua undergoes a name change. Before, his name was Joshua, it was Hoshea, which meant salvation. Now his name is changed to Joshua, which meant the Lord is salvation. In other words, from this point on, the Lord would fight his battles. He didn't have to worry about fighting his own battles with his own strength, with his own doing, but he can trust that the Lord was going to fight for him and that he was going to be victorious because of it. So what challenges did Joshua face as the new leader of Israel? First, we must talk about the shoes that he had to fill. Moses, coming after the man of God. I mean, can you imagine? Like you're Joshua, and God called you for the job. God said, you're going to lead the children of Israel now. After this great leader, Moses had done so many incredible things. Now it's your turn. Now the responsibility falls on your shoulders. How overwhelming that would have been. In fact, even the Bible says this about Moses. And so it says in Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12, it says, and there has not risen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent to him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. And so, What a man to live up to. How hard it would have been for Joshua to walk into his shoes and to take that leadership position. He must have felt inadequate. It must have been some feeling of inadequacy. Besides feeling inadequacy, we also see that Joshua, the man of God who was so bold and courageous whenever he spied out Canaan, that Joshua dealt with some fear in his life. Deuteronomy 31, 7 through 8 says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So the encouragement from Moses is, don't be fearful, don't be dismayed. And that word dismayed means to be overcome with fear. You know, to be in a place of fear where you're not moving forward. You're not doing the things of God because you're fearful of what is going to happen. You're fearful of man. You're fearful of the results. You're fearful. It keeps you crippled. It keeps you paralyzed. It keeps you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. He said, don't fear or be dismayed. You know, if the Lord was so concerned about Joshua overcoming his fear, that this was not the first time or the only time that the encouragement to be strong and courageous would come to Joshua. Again, in 23, it says, and the Lord commissioned Joshua. So now the Lord is speaking to Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them, and I will be with you. So he says, be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Now, if this wasn't enough, this is while Moses was still alive. In Joshua 1, we also find that whenever Moses died, the Lord tells him twice more, Joshua, be strong, be courageous. I am with you. I am fighting for you. You know, so many times we look at the heroes of the faith, you know, like Joshua and Moses. And we forget about their humanness. We forget about their weakness. We forget about the fact that they dealt with things just as you and I dealt with things. The Lord had to speak to Joshua 3 times, be strong and courageous. Moses had to do the same thing, be strong and courageous. Why? Because it's easy to be paralyzed by fear. It's easy to allow the things that you see in front of you to prevent you from moving forward. You know, before Joshua would fight off the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Mosquito Bites. Before he would fight off all these ites, the biggest ite that he had to face was the Pharisees. Anybody ever heard the Pharisees? I have the word broken down. Broken down and translated from the Hebrew, the Pharisees really means fear of things that you see. Things that you see that bring fear into your life. You may not have heard of Pharisees because it's a made-up word. All right, so I'm just kind of letting you know. But it's the things that you see, things that you're facing in your life, that brings about so much fear that it keeps you and prevents you from moving forward. What are some things that Joshua might have faced? What are some fear sites that Joshua would have faced? Maybe the foreseen burden of bringing a people into the promised land who were prone to rebellion against God. These people, they would rebel against God even whenever God said, don't make any idols, they would make idols. Whenever God was saying, don't murmur and don't complain, they would murmur and complain. And so Joshua is faced with this responsibility of leading the children of Israel who are prone to rebellion into the promised land. You know, Moses tells Joshua and all the people, he says, look, you're going to rebel. He tells this to the children of Israel, you're going to enter the land that God's given you and you're going to rebel against God. If you're Joshua, you're hearing this like, man, what's the point? What's the point of bringing these people into the land of Canaan only for them to rebel against God? And so this would have been one fear sight that Joshua would have faced. What about facing the Jordan River, a mighty river, and have the responsibility of bringing over 1 million people across that river safely? That's a fear sight. What about facing Jericho and all their armies and all the other cities that they would face and their armies? That would have been another fear sight that would have paralyzed Joshua from moving forward and fulfilling the will of God for his life. What about the fear of loneliness? Because now his leader that he respected so much, Moses, was dead, and now the responsibility fell on him. How lonely he would have felt. That would have been another fear sight that Joshua would have faced. What about the fear of failure? Moses failed. Moses was a man of God, and yet he failed God. Who's to say that I won't do the same thing? Who's to say that I'm qualified enough to lead? Fear of failure often prevents us from doing the things that God has called us to do. God, I know I should do this. God, I know you're calling me to El Salvador. God, I know you're calling me to make amends with my friends and my family. I know you're calling me to deal with this addiction. I know you're calling me, but God, what if I fail? And so you're so paralyzed by fear of failing that you're not moving forward in faith. Faith, whenever we have faith, we are able to overcome that fear. When God called us to start a church on the east side of home, like, God, are you serious? Like, us, you know? Hey, look, I have to admit, that was a fear of sight. That was a fear of failure. God, I don't know what's going to happen. Hey, look, you don't have to know what's going to happen. You don't have to know the outcome of it. You just have to begin to believe God and begin to step out in faith. And don't let those Pharisees keep you from fulfilling the will of God and the purpose that God has for your life. You know, Joshua, though he experienced these things, though he would have seen all of these different things and had these Pharisees right in his face, we learned something about Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. it says that Joshua began to give the orders and began to give the commands to gather the troops, to rally the troops and say, hey, look, we're moving forward. We're moving forward. We're not going to allow these things that we see to cripple us or to paralyze us. We're not going to allow fear to keep us where we've been, but we're going to the promised land. We're going to the place where God has called us to go, and we're going to move forward. Amen. Perhaps, you know, you're in your life right now, and you feel like God is calling you to move forward in certain directions. Whatever direction that may be, I have a few things. Perhaps it's to make amends with a family member. Perhaps you've had someone in your life who's offended you, who's hurt you, who's done some wrong in your life. And you know that you've been needing to make things right with that person. And you're facing this situation. And like Joshua, you have a decision. Will you allow the things that you see to prevent you from moving forward? Or will you step out in faith and believe that God is able? Perhaps you need to make things right with a spouse or your kids. Perhaps you need to forgive someone who's hurt you. Perhaps you need to let go of some anger or resentment in your life. Perhaps you need to let go of past failures and past disappointments. Perhaps you need to overcome an addiction. Perhaps you need to make a big change in your life today. Perhaps you're wanting to grow spiritually. You want to be a generous giver. You want to be faithful in your job. You want to tell someone about Jesus. You want to go on the mission trip. Whatever it may be, whatever the Lord is calling you to do. Hey, look, don't let those fear sites stop you and prevent you from moving forward. You're going to have to rise up and become the woman of God, the man of God that He has called you to be. And begin to rise up with some faith and say, hey, look, I'm not going to trust in my own ability to get me through this thing, but I'm going to trust in the hand of God. And I know that He is with me. And if He is with me, there is no one who could be against me. Amen. What river could quench the love of God? What river that Joshua is facing? What river can quench the love of God? What disobedience in your life would be too much for God to forgive? What rebellion of man would rob God of His righteousness? What feeling of loneliness would subdue the omnipresence of God? What failure might Joshua experience that would be too much for God to handle? Is there anything impossible for God? I would say no. There's nothing. It doesn't matter what you're facing this morning, what decision God is calling you to. The challenge is the same: to be strong and be courageous. Don't be dismayed. Don't be fearful. Don't be bound with fear. Don't be stuck and paralyzed and stuck in one place because you're fearful. But allow God to move you. Allow faith to move you. And realize, hey, look, God is fighting for you. You don't have to fight your battles. It has already been won on the cross of Jesus Christ when He said, it is finished. It is finished. You are already victorious. Don't be crippled by fear. Be moved by faith. The Lord is with you. He's fighting for you. And He has already won the battle for you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? God, we thank You for this word. Lord, that encouragement, that reminder to be strong, to be courageous. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, You have called us to. Whatever it is, that next level, Lord God, that requires us to step out in faith. I pray, Lord God, that we would have the boldness, Lord, to do so, that we would have the faith, Lord, to believe You and to step out and to do that which You have called us to do. I just dispel fear right now. I dismantle it right now in the name of Jesus. I break fear right now off of our lives in the name of Jesus. And I declare that an army of the living God is rising up, an army who is bold, an army who is courageous and will do the things of God and will believe God even whenever it is difficult. God, we thank You, Lord, for that kind of faith this morning. Lord, You are making us and molding us into the people of God that You have called us to be. Lord, today we look at those fear sites, those things in our lives that have tried to cripple us and tried to stop us and to try to prevent us from moving forward. And today we say it stops now. We're moving forward, Lord God. We're pressing on, Lord God. We're going to do, we're going to accomplish, we're going to win because you are fighting for us. Perhaps you're in this place today and you just need some extra prayer. You know, you've been facing some fear sites, some things in your life that has brought about fear in your life and has prevented you from moving forward. I would ask that you would do something bold right now and that you would stand to your feet, and we're just going to pray with you, and we're going to believe God with you that He will strengthen you and He will encourage you. Come on, don't let the fear of what other people are thinking about you stop you from what God has for you this morning. At the end of it all, it's you and God. Doesn't matter what anybody else says about you. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are standing in this room this morning. God, I pray for them, Lord, that you will encourage them, that you will be their help, that you will be their shield and their buckler. God, that you would just cause faith to rise up in their life this morning. God, though that they are looking at things in their life that seem to be impossible, they will keep moving forward. They will keep pressing on. They will keep believing you, Lord God. So I pray for them, Lord. I pray that you would just help them, that you will strengthen them, that you will encourage them today to keep moving forward. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for your word. Let it come alive in our hearts today as we walk it out, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of God who walk in faith and not fear. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We encourage you this morning just to listen to that message. We're going to be studying the book of Joshua this entire month of February into March. So go ahead and read some of it. Walk in faith and not in fear, and don't let those things cripple you. We encourage you, join us at a disciple group Sunday mornings at 9:30, or Wednesdays at 6:30. We love you guys. The baskets are still open for giving, and have a great, great Sunday in Jesus' name.